Blog Talk Radio.
Tell me a secret. I don't want to know about this. Any secret of yours, I want to know about that. One special secret. Because tonight, I want to learn about all the secrets in your garden. I want to read your mind. Know your deepest feelings. Wanna make it right for you, baby. Show me, let me share the mystery. Oh,
come on.
Listen to your heart tonight.
We could sing together. I've got the secret key.
I want to feel your secret.
Shalom, everyone. This is Yaina. How is everybody doing today? Shalom, shalom. And welcome to the Yehuda Project, the first day of the week. I hope all is well. Let me see what we're going to do there. I'm not going to ask you to open your mic, not yet, but if you can hear me, somebody push one, just one. All right, cool. All right, so guess what we're going to do today? There was a lot of videos that came up yesterday in class, and I wanted to start playing some of these videos. We're going to start with Sister Shania's video first. Because this is very interesting. These are a bunch of black pastors who are talking about the great falling away from the church and the people losing the people to different movements. So I wanted to give you an opportunity to hear this, and then we can talk about it. So let me make sure I got the mic open and all that, and you tell me what you think. All right, here we go.
Had a conversation with brothers. And with brothers and sisters, and so now we're having a conversation with young adult brothers. It would be one thing to say with sons. However, we are all brothers in Christ Jesus. We are all sons of God, and it is a blessing and privilege to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And listen, if you don't know him, by the time this program is ended, you will receive the opportunity to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. But let's get started today. Our co-hosts are Bishop Linwood Dillard and Bishop Guestry Bell. Bishop Dillard will be on with us in just a little bit. We're hoping and praying. As you know, this is a conversation, and so we hang out, and normally we have our, do have some Diet Pepsi. We normally have our Pepsi and chips and everything and hot wings. Well, since Thanksgiving is coming up, we may not do much of that tonight as everybody prepares for the Thanksgiving holiday. But again, this is just a time of conversation for us to come together and to discuss things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Let's go to our co-host right now, Bishop Guestry Bell, all the way from Houston, Texas. Bless you, sir.
Bless you, Bishop. Bless you, the Right Reverend Elijah Hankinson III. May God's grace be multiplied on you and to your family. And I'm certainly delighted to be with you on this evening. And I'm looking forward to a very innovative and enlightening discussion with your guest on tonight. So I'm excited, ready to go.
Awesome, sir. Well, I tell you what, let's just go ahead and do it. We have some of the youngest and brightest and the most intellectual minds in the kingdom of God that are here tonight. And so we present them, and Bishop Bell, just take it away and let us have a conversation. We have, first of all, Pastor Cale Mann. We have Dr. Timothy Thayer. We have Elder L.J. Neal. We have Superintendent Anthony Hudson. We have Superintendent Jerome Barmore, as well as Elder Marlon Bush. And Elder Bill, you're on it twice. And so I don't know what that means, but let me take you off. You're on here twice. I guess double blessing. Nevertheless, let's go at this time to Bishop Bell. Bishop Bell, get us started today. As we have this live discussion, listen, everybody, make sure you follow, like, share, and subscribe. Bishop Bell.
Thank you so much, Bishop Hankinson. We honor you tonight for this opportunity. We honor you tonight for this opportunity to come and to share with so many of these great young men whom I've seen around the church. Great minds, and certainly are prepared academically and spiritually, I believe, to speak to what we're going to be talking about tonight. I would like to just say welcome, and I'd like to just get right into our discussion. I want to kind of talk about tonight. I'd like to kind of get this started by asking a simple question, and that is, why do young men appear to be wrong to other religious movements like the Hebrew Israelites, and so on and so forth? What can be done, in your estimation or in your opinion, that can draw young men, African-American men particularly, to Christ? El Man, can you answer that question, and then anyone else that want to chime in, you can come right on in, and we'll just go right along, on and on. El Man, would you give some understanding to perhaps what your understanding that you're doing as relating to why by so many young men, African American men particularly, being drawn to other religions, like the Israelites, like the Nation of Islam. Talk about it.
Sure. God bless you. Thank you all so much, Bishop Hankerson, Bishop Dale. Thank you so much for this opportunity and to all these other great men of God that we share this time with. That is an amazing question. And, you know, I believe as we look to move forward in the church, I think that's the very thing that is hindering us, because the church itself comes off as a stagnant entity. And so I believe that the church must get back to being a movement. I just don't believe that nowadays that people want to join a church in the typical fashion that is, you know, in the older way, but they want to get involved with the movement. It's not just the Hebrew Israelite movement. It's all these movements, the Me Too movement, the LGBT movement. All of these things are gathering people. It's because it is a movement, and the church itself comes off as a stagnant entity. And so we have to be a part of something and present a movement that is impacting families, impacting lives, impacting things that are affecting our community, affecting our generation, and then introducing the love of Christ through the movement. If you look at Jesus, Jesus was a movement. He wasn't a standalone entity when he was moving forward. And I'll say one more thing, and I'll open it up. I believe this is important, that the church itself, I believe we have to be active and be public about our ability to foster and train and develop and show future leadership and give opportunity for that as we move forward. People want to be a part of what they feel like they can make a tangible impact in. And so I believe, again, if we can get back to the church, you know, becoming a movement. I know, you know, I'm not an advocate of preaching, oh, we got to get outside of the four walls of the church. That's a given. I don't believe we should talk against the entity of the church, but I believe we must become a movement that impacts people's lives in the various areas that they face on a daily basis.
Wow. Dr. Timothy Fair, where do you bring some more comments, some more creativity for what I just heard. I think you hit it out the park, Ella Man, but I know these great minds here. Dr. Fair, talk to us.
Certainly. And thank you again, Bishop Hankerson and Bishop Bell as well. Thrilled to be here with you all and my brothers this evening. I would argue that there is a real dearth of teaching that is happening right now in most of our churches. What I mean by teaching, I mean teaching doctrine. The Hebrew Israelites, although they are wrong, unfortunately, many of us cannot counter what they're teaching, number one, because we don't understand it. We haven't studied it in a way, you know, how Paul was able to really counter false doctrine because he understood it. And so number one, understanding the false doctrine. I think that systematic teaching, when we think about it, is by teaching a proper doctrine will lead to duty. If I understand doctrine in its purest intent, I know my particular responsibility. I know the collective responsibility of the local church and the global body of Christ. And so doctrine leading to duty. And when we understand that, we're able to articulate and defend our doctrine against false doctrines. And when we teach orthodoxy, or what I believe is the right belief, it should lead to orthopraxy, or the right practice. And in this moment, and I'll end with this, I really believe that we are living in what Prophet Amos said was a famine. This isn't a famine for food. It's not a famine for water. But the Prophet Amos says it's a famine for the word of God. And in this moment, there's a famine across the land because people cannot articulate, cannot understand, and cannot defend the word of God. And so what I would offer is that as young ministers, as young men, if we could do ourselves any favor, it would be to be able to, number one, be studied, but also be able to articulate and then be able to defend the doctrine by which we've been taught.
All right, let's stop it right there. I know y'all got something to say. So let me do this. The first pastor that was preaching, his name is Pastor Kale Mann. It's K-A-L-E-M-A-N-N. And he was the one that said, the reason why we're losing our young men to the Hebrew Israelites is because it's a movement. And the church is staying stagnant, and it's a movement. And we need to create a movement. The other pastor, even though he looks very young. His name is Dr. Timothy Fair, F-A-I-R. He said the reason why we can't come up against this doctrine, even though it's wrong, we can't combat it because there's not enough teaching. And if you have enough teaching, then teaching will lead to duty. So I know you guys have something you want to say to these pastors here. Anybody interested, please feel free to push one. This is a conversation that they had right before Thanksgiving. Anybody? Everybody? Somebody? You know, I want you guys to address this because this is how we're going to talk to them, because there's definitely a difference being made, and they're definitely feeling some things that's happening right now because they're losing their men to this Hebrew Israelite movement. Brother Leonard, your mic is open. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Well, it's not a movement. It's a prophecy, and it's Deuteronomy. It's Isaiah 44, 1-5. It was prophesied that the Israelites is gonna wake us up in the last days, pour his spirit out upon us, and the seed was gonna. He's going to raise our spirit. So it's not a movement. We connect it to the living God, and he's calling us back home.
But he said that was incorrect doctrine.
Right. That's because you don't understand. That's what has happened to us as Israelites, is they've taken away our understanding of who we are and our culture. And so now that our culture coming back, they finding themselves in a hole in the wrong place. That's what's happening to a lot of people. They finding out when the people come, they're in the wrong place.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And he did say that they didn't understand it. You know, he said, we don't understand it. I mean, to the point where we can't combat it, so we really don't understand it, and we need to do better teaching to be able to understand it.
Right. In Deuteronomy 32, it's two different knowledges. We got the knowledge that the prophets and our forefathers received from heaven. Then we got their knowledge. And so all these pastors have been to seminaries and got their knowledge. They don't have the knowledge of the Most High. And so now that time and they caught up with everybody, the truth is coming out. And like I said, they're finding out that they're in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Yeah, because it's affecting their numbers. You know what I'm saying? They're losing their young men to this because, you know, and it had to happen. Like you said, it's prophecy. It's going to happen one way or the other. And it's nothing that they're going to be able to do to change this thing around. It's not.
Right.
You know, you can't change it around.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you 100%. But the fact that they're talking about it, you know what I'm saying, means that, like we always said, that the difference is being made. The work has been done to the point where it's affecting their religious institutions because they're losing people by the droves. And there's nothing that you can do to change this. There's nothing you can do to fix this because this is prophecy being fulfilled.
Right. And y'all in their pocket. It's just like with the economy. He's all pocket now, too. He in everybody's pocket now is a problem.
Yeah, that's true. That is very, very true. And all we can say to them is that we pray that the Most High opens up your eyes so that you are able to see it, because you're not going to be able to see it if it opens your eyes.
Right.
You know, so I agree with you 100%. I totally agree with you on that one. Thank you for your comment. I appreciate it. Anyone else have one, want to push one, please feel free to do so. This is an opportunity for us to talk directly to the church, because now they're asking questions like, what do we do to stop this? Area code 585, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Just wanted to say, we've proven that they are not telling us the truth. I read my Bible several times over and over again. I'm going on what the word of the Most High has said. We are going on what the word of the Most High has said. And we have proven that they are not telling the truth. But I dare any one of them to prove that we are not telling the truth, because we will come back on them with scriptures to to let them know this is the way to go. We're not just making this stuff up. This is Bible that we're teaching. This is the Bible that we're speaking. This is the word of the Most High. So they calling us a liar, and it's prophecy being fulfilled. They better watch it, because you're not supposed to blaspheme against the Holy Spirit. I just feel led to say that. If any of you hear people saying that, you have a responsibility to stand against that spirit and let them know. Just because you could say you don't understand it, but don't speak against what the Holy Spirit and prophecy is saying. You have a responsibility to let them know this is not, you might not understand it, but what we're telling them is the truth. We're bringing the facts to the table.
And you know what I think the hardest part for them is this, and it's always what we said, like what we said Saturday. I think the hardest part for them to realize and accept is that we're still in the Old Testament. Even though the New Testament is there and the New Testament, and he wrote the end from the beginning and it's already played out, and the prophecies for the New Testament is there, we're still in the Old Testament because as Israelites, we have to, like Brother Leonard said, we have to fulfill those prophecies. And until we leave the lands of our enemies, in the lands of our captivity, and go back to where we're from, those prophecies have to be fulfilled. Now, whether they happen simultaneously with the New Testament, whether they happen individually first and we go back, is yet to be seen. But I think the hardest thing for them to accept is the fact that we have been, it's like somebody said, when we came over here in slavery, they transitioned us into Christianity, the version of Christianity that they gave us. So we automatically grew up on one side of the book. We automatically believed that the Old Testament was done away with and that the New Testament is where we were. And we have followed generation after generation after generation after generation the New Testament guidings with Paul teaching the Gentile how to live up until the time that the story is over. So for the Most High to take us from generational teachings of those things and bring us to now, to where he stopped the clock, backed us up, and said, wait a minute, I gotta have to fulfill prophecy in the Old Testament. You have to know who you are. You, like he said, Isaiah 44, you have to understand who you are and where you fit in this thing. Now we have to fulfill, we have to finish fulfilling the Old Testament, and that's where the problem is. That's why they can't accept it. They're like, well, wait a minute. This can't be right. Because we've been for 4 years waiting on the rapture. So wait a minute, now you're saying we got to go on, and that's where I think the problem is, in my opinion.
Wait. If that is a problem, in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, I believe it's verse 26, it says that the Most High will bring about a new covenant, which is a new testament. So they should question, do they want the testament, the new testament that they have already established themselves, or do they want the new covenant of the Most High? Because that is truly the new testament. In Ezekiel 37 and 26, it says, moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them, and it shall be an everlasting covenant with them. And I will place them and multiply them and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. So to me, we are in the Old Testament, and the New Testament hasn't come yet because Yah said he was going to make us a New Testament of peace, and that is the truth. New Testament.
I agree. I mean, you know, so let me, I want to play a little bit more. Hold on. Let me get some more in here. Here we go.
Awesome. Brother Marlon Bush.
Wow.
You're muted. He's muted.
He's talking good. We just can't hear him. Wow.
All right, Brother Jerome Barton.
Bless you, Bishop. Again, I echo the brothers and thank you, Bishop Bell, and thank you, Bishop Hankerson, for allowing us just this conversation. I would offer, just to piggyback off what my brother shared, on a micro level, when we talk about young men in this generation overall, I think what happens, in the church worldwide, church global, I think sometimes we don't focus on the participation of men in the worship experience and the worship structure.
Wow.
So if we take it to just a random local church, hospitality, it's usually a woman, the greeters, sometimes women,
wow,
ushers, women, sitting down, looking for a seat, you're going to pass a few ladies. It's not until we get to the front of the church, usually, typically, where the deacons or the elders, and of course maybe the pastor, that men actually see where they seem as if they could fit in, a place where they look like they can fit in.
Gotcha.
The church has to do is kind of expand our focus and not limit men and manhood to just pulpit practice or the diaconate or anything like that. Let them know that the regeneration of a local church or the spirit of a local church, it has to include that masculine presence, real men that say, I love God, I love my family, I love my church, right? I see where I can fit in this scheme of things.
Wow.
Okay, can you all hear me now?
Yes, sir.
All right, thank you so much. I enjoy what I've heard thus far. I would want to add that sometimes one of the reasons why we're leaving our organizations is that our skills, the things that we have to offer, are not being utilized, but they're being prostituted. We have men that are calling themselves fathers, but are turning around and being abused. And so you have young men that are willing to offer their services, willing to give what it is that they have because they love the ministry that they're a part of or they love the church that they're a part of. But oftentimes they're used and abused, and then they're burnt out. And so that's what I want to offer to that conversation alongside the education of the doctrine and things like that is mostly also that we have to understand and appreciate what the young people have to offer, but then know that we're not trying to take over, but we're trying to work alongside the leaders of this church.
Wow. Well, you know, I believe you have raised a great thought in relation to this question because many of our young men, they simply desire to be fathered and be mentored. And I think we as leaders have to also walk in an awareness and a keen sensitivity to realize that these are our sons and we have no need to be in competition with our sons, but be leading them and preparing them and giving them opportunities to grow in their skill and at the same time give them opportunities to operate in their gift. Ella Beal, can you speak to that? And then Ella Hudson, and we'll move right on to the next question.
Thank you, Bishop Hankerson and Bishop Beal, for this opportunity, and thank you for bearing with me with my shabby technology. I don't know what's going on here tonight.
You need an iPhone, that's what you need.
but I really appreciate the comments of my dear brother.
Get on with you.
I will say, adding to what they've already said, is that one of the things that I've noticed about particularly the black Muslims, I have relationships in my line of work as a community organizer. I run into different faith walks, different men from different faith walks. And what I have observed about the black Muslims, those who follow Louis Farrakhan, is you can see the theology he preaches about. You can see the things he says. He preaches black empowerment. He preaches discipline. He preaches focus and the family unit. And you can see it. Because what he does is he catches these young men in the Cook County jail system, disciples them, brings them out. They go through his boot camp. The next time you see those same young men, you'll see them over here on 79th and Stony Island with a pinstripe suit on, a bow tie, selling bean pies, and Final Call newspapers.
Wow.
The idea of economic security, racial justice, the idea of creating your own self-sufficiency, you see that. He preaches that, and you can see it. The reason why these kind of conversations are becoming attractive to our young men in the church is we have prided ourselves on touch your neighbor and say, I'm coming out of this thing. Sow a seed and watch God do it. 12 noon tomorrow. 30 days from now, watch God do it. We have emphasized that a lot. But eventually, the church, we're going to have to grapple with this. We're going to have to go back to on earth as it is in heaven. Being able to see the things we say.
Uh-oh, watch it now. All right, anybody got a comment on that one? Let me say something to you all. Well done. That's all I can say is well done. All praises be to the Most High Yah, because for them to sit down and have this conversation, this is the Church of God in Christ, having a conversation about why they are losing their black men to the Hebrew Israelite movements, to the Muslim movements, to the movements that are going on. We can only speak about what's going on with the Israelites. That we have, the Most High has used his people, and we have made a real difference in the work that's been done. Well done. You know, because nobody's out here deliberately sabotaging anything. That is not what this is. But the fact that they're talking about it means that we have touched in an area that no one has touched before. Because they cannot, and the beautiful, like I said, when you see a black man on a street corner with a Bible in his hand, or when you see have a black man on a show with a Bible in his hand, and he's talking about the word, and he's talking about Yah, what a beautiful thing that is. You don't see that in the church on an average. You don't. So I think it has been a very, very, very explosive and successful wake-up call. As he has awakened his people, it is affecting the very foundation of the church. Anybody want to push one? If you have a comment, you have something to say, please feel free to push one and join in on the conversation. I think it's been a beautiful thing that we're doing this, and it doesn't matter what you add to it. It doesn't matter the things that they say, because people are gravitating toward their identity. You cannot substitute identity for protocol and procedures. You cannot. The thing that is gravitating more to our people is that they are understanding their identity. Powerful stuff. Anybody have anything to say before we move on to the next topic? Some of the brothers. Anybody other than Brother Leonard? He's already said his piece. Any sisters? Anybody have anything you'd like to add? Hold on a minute. Area code 904. Your mic is open.
Yes, Mrs. Sajani. I'm enjoying the conversation, and I happen to have some friends who are still pastors today. I mean, I left the church maybe about 6 years ago, and I still know some people from the church, and I'm really good friends with some pastors. And I introduce them to what we do as Hebrew Israelites. And first thing I usually tell them, this is not a movement. And I repeat some of the stuff that Brother Leonard had said. Yes, I said, this is prophecy. And the first thing I direct them towards is Deuteronomy 28. And I asked them a question. I said, what people on the planet of Earth fit these curses? That's the first thing I say. And then I interject and say, well, what the church mostly do is tradition and idolatry, and it does not line up with scripture at all. So the bottom line, I just direct them to the scripture. That's what I usually would say to them. That's my input for the day.
Hallelujah. praise the mind. And it's working. It's working, Brother Uriah. It's working. Because for them to sit down and have this conversation, it's working. For them to try to find a solution to combat prophecy, it's working. The Most High is using his people to tear down, like you said, idolatry and traditions and all, and it's working. Men need father figures. No, they need Yah. That's what they need. They need to understand who Yah is. They don't need a mentorship program. They need Yah. They have to understand what their duties are, keep his laws, statutes, and his commandments, and move and live according to those. He said, because if you do them, you shall live in them. That's what he said.
And one of the pastors that I talked to, like I said, I'm a good friend with, I actually sent him one of the books that I've written. I didn't know how he was going to react to the book, but I sent him one anyway. And when we actually had a conversation shortly thereafter, he said to me, he said, I agree with mostly everything that you have said. And I was really shocked that he even said that. So after that day, I didn't say any more. I just kind of listened to what he had to say, and that was it. But I didn't interject anything after that. I said, just keep reading the book. If you have any questions, just come and ask me. That's all I said. But it's interesting that some of them do agree what we do and what we believe, but I think their eyes are just not open to see the full picture yet.
No question about that. No. You know, and it's a beautiful thing because, you know, like I said, and the way you know this is because they're listening. Everybody started out at first saying, nah, that can't be right. Them people is teaching heresy. But like the brother said, we can't combat it. We can't come up against it. No, you can't come up against prophecy. No, even though you may think it's wrong because you can't see it, you can never come up against prophecy. There's no mentoring in the world that can substitute for a relationship with Yah and understanding that we are his chosen people and that he chose us to be a people unto himself. There's nothing you can say. That's what they're gravitating to, their newfound identity, the exit strategy that he has set aside for us, the safety that he's providing for us. That's what they're gravitating to. And that's hard to accept because it's something that man can't give. And if they was able to give it, they would give it. They're not able to give that. I just wanted to say that. Anyone else have a question or anyone to raise your hand? Okay, if not, I'm going to give you a few minutes to raise your hand. I just wanted to say that we need to pray for Brother Nathaniel of IUIC, Israel United in Christ. I was watching one of his clips on the Sabbath day, and I told you guys I was going to do this so that we're heard all over the world for this one right here. I was watching one of his programs on the Sabbath day, and, you know, he did say that his health was not good. I could tell by looking at him that there's been a significant change in his health, you know, and we want everyone to pray, you know, because, and it's to the point where on one of his programs, he reads letters from people that send in letters. He was actually wearing gloves because he was saying, you know, the devil is real. I don't know what's going on or what happened or, you know, I have to protect myself, you know, so I'm wearing gloves. I'm not touching anything anybody sends in through the mail, you know, and I don't blame him, you know, because when you are a person that's out there like that in the public and you're fighting and you're getting this knowledge, and, you know, I don't agree with everything that they say and their teachings. No, I don't agree with it all, but we still family at the end of the day. So they've been all over the world telling people that they're Israelites and that we're Yah's chosen people, and you're gonna come up against some enemies. You're gonna come up against some enemies. So, you know, I just wanted for everybody, you know, to don't forget to hold him in your prayers, you know, and pray for him and his family, because it appears that he's going through something physically with his health. You know, and we ask Yah to cover his family and his children, to cover his body, and to help, you know, that the Most High will heal his body. You know, we have to rebuke the enemy because we are fighting a real enemy. You know, I don't think that we all realize the things that we're doing is putting a real damage in some things. When we're fighting a real enemy, you know, so we have to cover each other. We have to pray for each other. We have to make sure that we're covered. You know, and the angels come and present themselves and to watch over us and, you know, to protect us. Even under the care of a doctor, we have to pray, you know, through that whole situation as well. So, you know, we ask that everyone that can hear me under the sound of my voice, it doesn't matter what part of the world that you're in, most people know IUIC. Most people know Bishop Nathaniel. He's been very vocal and very verbal with his teachings, and they've been around a long time. It's the people that wear the purple. You know who I'm talking about. He's fighting with something. I don't know exactly what it is, and it's none of my business. But whatever it is, we are definitely going to pray. We need to pray as a family. Put him on your prayer list. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. Gonna pray. Because I know what it is to be sick. Like that. So we gonna pray. You know, for him, his wife, his children, the camp, all of it. We need to begin to pray. Because like I said, we family at the end of the day. We are children of the 12 sons of Jacob. And that's important. Okay, so moving on, I wanted to play this little clip too and get this on the record. This is something that I found on one of his clips, and I want you to, it's very short. I played it for you guys yesterday twice, but I want to put it on the record for the church, for the Kojic pastors that came together to find a solution. This is the reason why you all are having the problem that you're having. And it's better for one of your colleagues to tell you instead of us. So here we go. Check it out. This is the reason why.
People go to church to hear the preacher preach the gospel of Jesus and his grace because of sin. Now, what is sin? The transgression of the law, according to 1 John 3 and 4. So sin is the transgression of the law. But modern Christianity tells us that the law has been done away with, been nailed to the cross, we don't need it anymore. So, law, modern Christianity says we don't need you anymore, brother, you can go sit down. So now, the people go to church to hear the preacher preach the gospel of Jesus and his grace because of what? Sin. But what is sin? Sin is the transgression of the law, but we got a problem. If we say that the law is done away with and we don't need it anymore, then what is sin? Sin's the transgression of the law. So if you have no law, by definition, you can have no sin. So you can go sit down, Miss Grace. Thank you. All right, so now let's do it again. The people go to church to hear the preacher preach the gospel of Jesus and his grace because of what? Because of sin, right? We fell into sin. We needed God's grace. But notice, when you take away the law, you have no sin because sin is the transgression of the law. So you take away the law, by definition, you also take away sin. When you take away sin, why do you need grace? If you have no law, you have no sin. If you have no sin, why do you need grace then? So, brother, thank you. You can go sit down. So now the people go to church to hear the preacher preach the gospel of who? Jesus, but what did Jesus do? He died for our sins, but if you take away the law, then you take away sin. If you take away sin, then you have no grace, because you have no need for grace. If you take away grace, then what did Jesus do? He didn't do anything, though, if you take away the law. Are you seeing the point? And so you can go sit down, Ms. Regine. Thank you. And so now the people go to church to hear the preacher preach the what? Now what's the gospel? The good news. Bahan, what's the good news? Of Jesus. But if you have no law, you have no sin. If you have no sin, then you have no grace. If you have no grace, then you have no need of Jesus. And if you don't have Jesus in the equation, then what's the good news? You have none. Are you with me? So thank you. You can go sit down. So now the people go to church to hear the preacher preach a whole lot of nothing. Are you with me? Hey, just feel good messages.
There it is. That's it basically for all the pastors on the panel that heard this little skit that he had. That's why it's not working. Why it's not working. It's real simple. It don't take no rocket scientist to figure it out. It just don't take all that. It don't take a rocket scientist to figure it out. So I just wanted to make sure that we played that. I wanted to make sure that we talked about my brother and that he had an opportunity to, that we had an opportunity to pray for him as well. And moving on, anybody have any questions or anything before we move on? Because there's another video that I have that's in YouTube that we're going to try to pull up, but they said now the video is not available anymore, but we're going to try it anyway. But this is why, and you know, it should do your heart glad to know that these people are talking about this now. Because it's effective. Now it's working. You know, it's starting to affect. For them to have a open conversation about it, it's affecting people. I wanted to play the one that said we are Yah's chosen people, but they have removed it, so it doesn't exist anymore. I definitely want to put that out there. But, yeah.
But, Yahia, I was wondering, you said that they are having a problem believing that the Messiah came in the Old Testament and that he came in the Old Testament because we're still in the Old Testament. So he came for the lost children of the house of Israel.
Right,
and
right,
that's what
right.
They don't understand. They be preaching right. That he came for everybody, but that's not true.
That's true.
He didn't come for everybody.
Come on, I think I pulled it up. That's true. That's true. I agree with you 100%. So, I mean, you know, but the fact is that it's been very effective. The teaching has been effective. The preaching has been effective. Everything that we've said and done has been effective in terms of how we deal with our identity and who we are as a people. And it is, and we know that it's been affected because it has affected them to the point where they're talking about it now. I remember when we would try to bring it up as a topic, they would laugh in our face and ignore us like it didn't matter. But they can't do that now because now it's become a real life issue. Because now it's affecting their numbers. Now.
And their pocketbooks.
Yeah, that too. That too. That too. You know, because now they're saying they're losing both their men and women. So, yeah, it's really being effective. You know, and then like the guy said, even though it's wrong, we can't combat it. Who told you it was wrong? Why do you feel like it's wrong? Just because you don't understand it doesn't mean it's wrong. You know, now, I don't, like I said, we don't all agree with everything, but, You know, you have to understand that this is a people that have been away from their Elohim for thousands of years. And it's very difficult. So I just wanted you guys to share that. Hold on, let me get this mic. Area code 614, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Yes, shalom, shalom. I just wanted to say that I've heard that the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are really a part of the Old Testament.
It might be. Might be. You know, how they split the book up and made one into old and one into new, it's a possibility. You know?
Yeah. I also wanted to say that the one pastor that said that, you know, what's being, you know, taught is wrong, you know, but just because he doesn't understand it doesn't make it wrong. And my prayer would be that, you know, they would research the Old Testament and the scriptures and that the Most High will enlighten them to the truth.
Absolutely. And open up their eyes that they can see, you know, but, you know, like again, but then it goes to what we've been teaching all along. Everybody that's black is in Israel. You feel what I'm saying, sis? You know, just because all our skin folk ain't our kin folk, so they may never see it.
Yeah, this is true.
You know, and that their job on the earth may be to make everybody believe that it's error when it's not. That may be their job. I mean, you know, the more that we study and the more we understand, you have vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. And some of them may have purposely been set here to cause a stumbling block, and you have to have enough faith to move forward and believe what the Most High shows you.
Hallelujah.
But if there is real, pray that the Most High opens up your eyes. Because they may never see it. They may not see it until the rest of the world sees it. You know. But, you know, we just keep doing what we're doing, and it's being effective. For them to be talking about it, and especially as large as the Church of God in Christ is, it has to be affecting somebody.
Yes, and I'm also, you know, amazed at how the young generation, the young men are looking for something. They're searching, you know.
Absolutely.
Well, that, yeah, yeah. So that's
good
to know, too.
And they see that camaraderie, you know, even though, you know, we don't condone any radical teachings or anything like that. They see black men standing together doing what they know, reading Bible. Reading Bible together. How beautiful can that be? It can't be no better. It won't get no better than that. So, I mean, you know. Area code 540, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Yeah, the Bible is the foundation, but there are also other books out there that explains much more than what the Bible does explain. And I think go ahead.
You're right, absolutely.
And they cannot, those pastors cannot compete against that. So, you know, I got a feeling that a lot of them know that the Vatican is hiding a lot of works, as well as the other churches that are out here that are dominated by the higher society. They don't want us to know who we are. So they do not allow them. Or if they do allow, it's only a very few that would know about who we truly are. So, I mean, you know, it's like, you know, just like what Yahshua told his disciples, like, you know, hey, I'm going to make you fishers of men. Well, this is exactly what's going on here. Because we're casting out the net and we're dragging the net. And whosoever will come into the net. And we put them on board, and there we go.
And it's working.
Yeah, it's working. It really is. I mean, you have people out here prophesying and having dreams and visions. okay? And they're telling about their dreams and their visions. And they're talking about things that are happening. And it is it's very scary if you're not on Yah's side. But his people have nothing to worry about.
No. Not at all. Yeah. Because everything, and it's working because we know men and women are gravitating to their identity and who they are as people. You know, it's mm-hmm. just not enough to say you're going to be saved and don't worry about it. Like they said, that love doctrine is dangerous. You know, because it's more to it than that. You know, we have to understand who we are because, you know, each nation has a purpose and a God that's been assigned to them. He's our God. He chose us. We are the lot of his inheritance. And that's hard for some people to accept. And some people will never accept it because they're just not Israel.
No, it's hard for a lot of people to accept because the way we have been treated and we have been just stonewalled on all corners. So it's like, you know, when you find out that a person is spiritually higher than what you have been taught, because you've been taught that these people are nothing, you know, behind closed doors, this is what's taught to you. Taught to you in your home, taught to you by your churches, you know what I'm saying? So then when they find out, you know, who we are, and whose we are, and then they see all the disasters that's happening around the globe, as well as right here in this country.
Yeah.
And it makes them think. It makes them think.
Yeah. Clearly, because they're talking about it. They want to know what's the solution. What can we do to combat losing our men to these movements? Like, no, you losing your men to Yah. It ain't got nothing to do with a movement.
So my question then was, why would you call it a movement? Because we have not done anything except go to our Elohim.
That's it.
That's all there is to it. And do what he says to keep his commandments.
That's it. That is it.
That's the movement, if you want to call it one. It's a move towards him to do what he says.
That's it. And it has been.
Be at peace, brothers and sisters. Be at peace. Because our Elohim is on our side, and he said that he will protect us from everything.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. And it's bothering them. It's bothering them.
Yeah, and also just like what somebody else said earlier, too, the money is being drained from their pockets, and there's no way they can stop it.
Say that one more time.
Money is being drained from their pockets, and there's no way they can stop it.
Absolutely, absolutely. No
they
question.
Can't live that. They cannot live those lifestyles of having 2 and 5 homes, 6 Rolls Royces, and daggone countless jets that they have. I mean, Creflo Dollar himself went on ahead and he got a $65 million jet. $65 million, huh? For a jet?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Oh well. What can I say?
Yep. Well, and like the man said, you know, we've been telling everybody, you know, look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, God going to fix it today. By 12 o'clock tonight, you're going to be rich. And ain't nobody got rich yet. He said he's going to open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing.
The only one who got rich was the pastor.
Receive. And everybody got room because the windows ain't opened up yet. And it's been like 30 years.
The only one who got rich was the pastor.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they, you know, because people need you to make it make sense.
I would tell I would tell my neighbors, get the hell out of that church. Churches. That's what I would do.
Right. And not to mention that they've been standing up, acting like they the Levi tribe, and that they're entitled to the tithe. You know, so you know, you're halfway stepping in and out, because one minute you say it ain't true, the doctrine ain't true, and that the Israelites is teaching a false doctrine, but then you're standing over the pulpit professing to be one of the tribes that's entitled to the tithe. So you can't be a Gentile and a Hebrew Israelite at the same time. That's why this is all getting ready to come out.
According to T.D. Snakes, you can't. I mean, Jake. According to T.D. Snakes, Jake's, he can. What do you call him? You said Israelite. What else?
A Gentile at the same time.
Yeah, Gentile. There you go.
Can't do that. If you're an Israelite from the tribe of Levi, then that's what you're from. But you have to be a self-living Israelite. And it's starting not to make sense. Make it make sense. And that's why you're losing people, because people are realizing now what you're doing don't make sense.
And also when people study the word, and when they read that there's a book of Jasher, as well as other books, those who are curious will go find out what this book of Jasher and other books are all about. Because I remember when we were in the church that we went to, when we mentioned about those books, and when the books were also mentioned towards us, we were told, don't read that. No, that's devil worship stuff. You know? Mm-hmm. It's a whole lot of stuff that we have that Yah is willing to give back to us. But because we have been told by Christianity that this is devil worship, that's devil worship. Don't listen to those Christians, because the Christians go back to the Catholic Church. That's the mother.
Yeah.
The churches, the other churches are her daughters.
That's true. Yeah. But you know what? There was something that I wanted you all to know. There was a book that Bishop Nathaniel was reading. He was reading on his show, and it was called The Negro Project. And what they were saying in the book, and it was in Margaret Sanger's on the front of the book, and they were saying in the book that this was a practice that they used for years and years, that they would go and get the black pastors, and these pastors would be instrumental in manipulating the black people to move them whichever way they wanted to. And you know, we have found I found it online for like $17, but most of the places me and Malcolm looked at today, it was like $40 for the book. But it's called The Negro Project. I want everybody to take a chance try to get that book. And I'm going to see if I can pull it up to where he is, what he's talking about, because it definitely goes into detail. And like I said, when you are on the forefront like we and everybody else has been, you know, you're going to suffer some attacks. You know. Hold on just a second. Hold on, here we go. Hold on just 1 minute. I'm going to let him show you. I'm going to let him talk about it. Here we go. And I usually don't bring another group on here, but this is very important. I want you to hear this real quick. Hold on just a second. I want to get it to right where it is. Give me 1 sec. Here we go.
I forgot the dude's name, but I'm going to just show you. It's upstairs. I ain't got it down here. The Negro Project. Watch the clip and do yourselves a favor. Pick up the book. Watch this.
All right, here's a book entitled The Negro Project by Bruce Fleury. Look at the words in the back here. That's Margaret Sanger. birth control must lead to ultimately to a cleaner race. Bruce Fleury's The Negro Project, Margaret Sanger's diabolical, duplicitous, dangerous, disastrous, and deadly plan for Black America, forward by Ron Edwards. Now, I want all you evil Black Christian women, or Christians in general, to pay close attention to your precious Planned Parenthood and churches. Pay very close attention.
Hold on, he's going to get to it.
Introduction. So I'm going to start here. In the following pages, we will examine the alliance between the founder of the organization we know today as Planned Parenthood and these individuals, an alliance that was called the Negro Project. So the original name was the Negro Project. It later became known as Planned Parenthood. See, you Black women have been fooled to hate your race and hate yourself and hate your people. I'm talking to you Christians, you lying, evil Black Christians. The purpose of which was nothing less than the self-imposed extermination. Look at that. Self-imposed extermination of an entire group of Americans based on one reason and one reason alone. The color of their skin. Jump down. This enterprise and its deliberate attempt to rid the world of Blacks and other minorities, Sanger herself referred to them as human weeds that were in need eradication, lest their progeny continue to hold back what she would call human progress, meaning the white race. Flip that. All right, go to chapter one.
Now listen very carefully.
Again, this is for you Black evil Christians out there. Now you know what you'll do. You'll read this or hear this information I'm showing you. You'll get the book later on. But rather than fall on your knees and pray to the Lord for mercy and forgiveness, you're mad right now at me because I'm calling you evil Black Christians. When there's an old expression, don't hate the messenger. Don't stone the messenger. I'm just giving you the message. All right, chapter one. We should hire 3 or 4 colored ministers, preferably with social service backgrounds and with engaged. The most successful educational approach to the Negro is through a religious appeal. We don't want the word to go out that we want to exterminate the Negro population, and the minister is the man who can straighten out that idea if it ever occurs to any of their more rebellious members. That's a quote from Margaret Sanger to Clarence J. Gamble, December 10th, 1939.
Did you hear that? They always use the Black minister. When they want something done, they call the Black minister. They deal with the Black church. So it's no wonder that they're making these videos now, but why are we losing our people? Oh, what can we do to fix it? How can we bring them back? It's all the same. It's the same trick. It's just different faces. Same stuff. Just different faces. And see, a lot of people don't know that Margaret Sanger and what's his name? What's his name? Tell me he going to block out the sun. He's instrumental with the vaccines all over the world. Bill Gates. Margaret Sanger and Bill Gates' father was in cahoots together. So this goes back generation after generation after generation after generation. It is. That's how it works. And when you have people like him putting this stuff out there like that, believe me, they under attack. You know, this is what's always been done. Always. You know, so it doesn't surprise me when you got eight black pastors on a platform and from the Church of God in Christ talking about how can we get our black men back. We hope they don't never come back to you, because they're going to stay with Yah, because that's who they're supposed to be with. Yah is waking up his people. He's calling his people home. Want to make sure we bring that out there. They ain't never supposed to come back. Once they wake up, they should never be back. Now, the other video that I wanted to play, it's going to be very difficult. We won't be able to play this one online because he's speaking French. And the American words are at the bottom, and I would have to read that. So I don't want to have to put you through that. But it's called We Are God's Chosen People. And I would advise you to look at that, too, on your own time, because it's really hard to play that online because we don't speak French. I don't want to, you know, put anybody through that. But, yeah, that's where we are today. And if you think that's not room for attack, you come up against that system and all the things that they've been doing, you know, we got to cover each other in prayer. Got to cover in prayer. Prayer changes things. Prayer makes it better. Prayer fixes it. You know, he said, if you live and if you do the laws, statutes, and commandments, you shall live in them. You know. So we have to be honest, but I just thought that was a really good book to have for you to have in your book collection. You know, so that you can understand just how deep this goes. You know, that this is all a part of a plan put together. And people don't believe it, but it is real. It is real. So, but I just wanted to bring that information out. You know, so that we can understand what this thing is really all about and how far this thing goes, you know, and that we're making real progress. You know, we're making real progress because our people are coming up out of these buildings. They're coming up out of these churches. You know, they're not still fueling their lifestyles anymore. You know, and they're, like I told you, they used to scare us. The big boogeyman going to come and eat up all your goods. If you don't, and they use the same scriptures that apply to Israel to scare you into giving them money to keep their lifestyle going. So all praises be to the Most High Yah that we have done this, you know, according to his specification. And he's the one waking his people up, men, women, and children. You know, I've seen a clip where they had the kids, the teenagers that's a part of certain groups, in their classroom, giving presentations, sharing the information that way, college students doing presentations in front of the classes, explaining who we are as a people. It's just been going, nonstop. No. That's a blessing. That is a blessing. It truly is. We gotta trust Yah and keep doing what we're doing, because we on our, the closer we do this, the closer we get. We on our way home. We on our way. Anybody have a comment, question? I mean, how does that make you feel? You know what I'm saying? To see them admit, because they admitted it. They admitted it on their own. That this is what it is. That we losing people. We want to know what we can do to stop it. You can't stop it. You can't stop y'all's people from going back to him. That's not going to happen. This is a Yah thing. This is a God thing. You can never change it. And this was prophecy. This is inevitable that this is going to happen. You'll never be able to stop his people from coming back to him. And he told us to shout it from the rooftop, and that's what we've been doing. We've been shouting it from the rooftop. And it's taking off like wildfire. Everybody want to know what we're talking about. You know, and after a while, you get tired of hearing people preach to you. It's like you're not talking about nothing.
Not only that, but the thing is that the way that we live our lifestyle is shouting towards them also.
That's true. Very true. Absolutely. You know, and when we stop participating in things, economically, when you look at that economically, that puts a dent in a whole lot of stuff. If you get a million people stop celebrating Christmas, you know what kind of dent that puts into the financial system?
You got it.
2 million people that don't eat pork no more. You know what that does?
That's when they try to come out there with those pork commercials.
Yeah. That changes everything. We don't celebrate Easter. You know what that does for the jelly beans and the Easter bunnies and all that stuff and all that baskets? You don't buy no more? No, but that's what made us different from everybody else. We didn't conduct ourselves like everybody else did. We didn't do it. All praises be to the Most High. And what a lifestyle to live. It's the best thing that ever happened to me. I don't know about nobody else, but I've never had as much peace as I have right now. And don't miss it. You know. So it's a beautiful thing. And it is going to change their lifestyle. It is. Because ain't nobody paying for it no more. Like we had to tell everybody else, get a job. No. You're going to have to get a job and pay for all them cars and all them houses and all that stuff. Got to get a job. I mean, when you read the scripture, Paul worked. He worked. He did. He was from the tribe of Benjamin. He told you what tribe he was from. But you don't even profess to be an Israelite. And then you taking the tithe. That don't work. The tithe was given to the Levi tribe. No? So, I hope this has been very informative to you guys as it has been for me. I just wanted to, you know, there's a little bit of thing called sharing the knowledge and sharing the love, and when you can see that with your own eyes, when you can hear them ask that question with their own mouth, then you know that the things that Yah has used us to do has made a difference. Whole families is leaving. Like I said, I can't wait to see what he going to do when he delivers us. How many of them same folks that's on that platform going to be on the boat with us? Guys, you know, keep doing what you're doing. Don't stop doing what you're doing. Let his people know who they are. That's our job. He told us to gather ourselves. That's what we're doing. You know, we don't come up against nobody. Everybody has a part to play. Hold on. Area code 214. Your mic is open. You're on the air.
Yes, I was watching that video, and one of the things that I did was read the comments below, and somebody pointed this out, that as they were talking about what they needed to do, they did not use scripture. We use scripture. We live by scripture. But they use no scripture. They were just talking about what is it that we can do. We don't want them to leave, but no scripture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point.
And that is the
difference. That's a good point. Yeah, you're right. That is the difference. It's a very good point. And every time we talk, when we open up our mouth, scripture coming out. You know? We done said that. Isaiah 44, Deuteronomy 28. All kind of scriptures start coming out. You know? They can't do that. Like he said, we can't combat them. We can't come up against them. Even, wait a minute, he said, even though we know that the doctrine is wrong, we're not able to come up against them. When maybe it ain't wrong then. You think so? Who said it's wrong? Because you don't understand it? You know? Area code 720, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Well, I just wanted to say this is what happens when the true people of God take their book back. There are no gimmicks. There are no tricks. We are preaching truth, are teaching truth, and it has manifested to our people. It has ignited them, and this is something they can't do. Everything is a bag of tricks, prosperity gospel, love, everything to increase their coffers and to buy them jets and what have you. But what we came with is the word of Elohim and the truth. And that they can't take from us. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That is the truth. Hallelujah. And it has done its job clearly. Because why would they be talking about it?
Yep. All praises to the Most High.
He every once in a while he'll send you a little something to say well done. You know what I'm saying? For real. That's how I look at it. When they can put it publicly, the Most High is saying to his people, well done. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Yes,
because that is what the gospel is. That is the true good news.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And only his people could have done that. Nobody else can give it like that. Nobody else can.
That's right.
He said, well done. No, that's why I told y'all, good job. Good job.
It's the anointing. It's just the anointing of the spirit of the Most High. That is what has brought our young men and our people. It's his anointing. And they've never had it. They pretended to have it. They stroked the piano keys and the organ keys, and they shouted, and they did screeches to get the people out of their seats, but they didn't have the anointing. We thought it was there, but now we know the truth.
Yep. Yep. The real power. Yes, ma'am.
And I think, and I believe that they lack a lot of understanding because they're not following the commandments. Because when I go to Psalms 111, you know, it says the fear of the Most High is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments, his praise and joy forever. So when you start doing the commandments, you do develop some type of understanding. And they don't follow commandments, so they never develop any understanding.
That's true. That is so true. I'm so excited. That is true. All everything you guys said today is true. Wow. And you know what, when you deal with y'all's power, he real quiet about it. He's subtle. You know, and don't mean no bands playing. Like you said, ain't no organs being stroked. Ain't no keys being played a certain way. Drum ain't, we don't have, it's just the plain and true, unadulterated word of Yah. That's all it is. And it has gone through and made a difference. It's a beautiful thing. That's all I can tell you. It's a beautiful thing. It is beautiful to see. And we ain't seen nothing yet. Like I said, you wait and see how many people make themselves available and is ready to go when we get ready to go. You wait and see. You know. All praise be to the Most High. I'm so excited. I don't know what to do. That just did my heart good. You know, because when you've labored for a while, you know, when you've been laboring and, you know, and you have given your time, talent, and treasure, you know, to be obedient unto Yah. He just sends you something and say, well done. As you've made a difference. Like I told y'all before, we don't see the people that we've touched. We just think we're just talking. But we don't see the people and the lives that we touch every day that's listening to the things that we're doing, because we all over Instagram, we all over Facebook, we all over YouTube, we all over everywhere else that has an outlet that allows us to be, to speak on the thing on Blog Talk Radio. We all over everywhere telling this truth. His name is being rung out into the atmosphere. Powerful. Folks is getting upset. They're calling meetings and stuff. What must we do to fix the problem? You got to submit to the Most High God, and you come out of there. Woo! Hallelujah. You can't serve two masters. He said you'll either love one or hate the other one, or hate one and love the other. But you can't serve two masters. Can't do it. No? So I think we've come to the end of our show. I just wanted to let you guys know that, to let you hear it straight from them so you don't think it's coming from me, and know that the more we hear that, the closer we get to leaving up out of here. What we doing? That's what we doing. So I want you guys to have a wonderful rest of your week. We'll be here. We're going to resume our regular scheduled program through the week. We hope that you guys will be there to assist with us so that we can continue to do the work. But we're doing the work. We're going to roll up our sleeves and keep doing the work and do what y'all say do, because that's all he told us to do anyway. And on that note, you guys have a wonderful rest of your evening. Shalom, shalom, everyone, and we'll see you next week.
Shalom, shalom.